How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Woohoo!
Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.
Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus terms and conditions apply.
Spring is sprung and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Hello and welcome along to another edition of Retro Press X to continue. Now this is the place where we relive some of the first iteration of our favourite games podcast. That's this podcast, in case you didn't twig. And we do that by bringing you some of our original work that we did, and we're bringing that work to some new platforms for the first time ever. And so we're keeping it Christmassy with this week's retro episode by going back to December 2020. We even started the podcast by talking about my Christmas tree, so we couldn't get any more Christmassy than that. Now, we started this podcast during the pandemic, and that was very much still a part of people's lives. And this month, vaccine rollouts were slowly starting. Tom Cruise was going viral at the time for getting angry at some of the Mission Impossible movie crew. And on Press X, we had one of the coolest men to ever walk the earth on the pod with us. Keanu Reeves was with us to chat cyberpunk. I mean, do I need to say anything else? Have a listen and let us know what you think. And remember to get in touch and follow us on social media, like, subscribe, all that good stuff. Press X Pod or Press X Podcast. Check both of them out on Insta, Blue Sky and TikTok. And enjoy some Keanu Reeves. Now, joining us, we've already heard them, and my really close second, Inel, you know? I think it's difficult to rank friends, you know? But I think, you know, you're really close.
I mean,
up
you,
there.
You didn't have any difficulty with Keanu ranking him. That was pretty easy. If anything, well, it came up, just came off the tongue, just like, oof.
Hey, I've copied you. You know, last week you were putting up your tree on the pod. I haven't turned my screen yellow. I've got my tree up.
It's nice with the fairy lights as well.
Yeah.
I'm liking it. Big. I'm liking it.
Have you got your Christmas tree up yet, Rage?
No, I haven't. I'm like stuck in the middle of moving house. So I'm like, do I put it up and then potentially everything goes through and I'm moving house in a few weeks? Or do I wait and maybe not have a tree for Christmas? I don't know. I don't know what to do.
It's a lot to think about, Rage. No wonder you're spending your time setting up Warzone tournaments instead, right? This is means you can escape from the nightmare of moving house.
Exactly, yeah.
You were a killer in that Warzone tournament that me and Einel played in the other day.
Yeah, I killed you, didn't I?
I saw it happen as well, Rage. I saw it happen in the gulag. I was up in the gulag watching. Go on, Stefan. Go around the left. Flank around the left, mate. Here comes Rage. Bang. It's game over.
Let's not dwell on that, okay? Rage. It was a great tournament. Raging. Fun was had by all.
I'm glad you enjoyed it.
Now, Gav, you were coming to the podcast this week. I know people can't see it. Obviously, it's a podcast. From the studio that you do your YouTube stuff in. And I don't know, I wasn't expecting it today, and it just shocked me when you're like in this massive room with just you, tiny little you in the corner.
I am right in the middle of it as well. Like, because we've got a really lovely telly that's bigger than my telly at home, and I'm in the middle of moving. So I wanted to like get a few hours of cyberpunk in, obviously, before this. So I came in to the studio this morning at 5:15 in the morning. Yeah, just to see if I could get a few hours in before I had to start work and record this. And I did. I managed to. It was just me and the cleaners in. And they didn't want to hear about cyberpunk. They wanted to get on with it, so unfortunately. But, hopefully as I go on, and I've made friends with them now, and I made them a cup of tea. So, you know, I've made some friends. It's been lovely.
Although no Christmas tree, so that's disappointing.
No Christmas tree here, no.
Yeah. And how excited are you on a scale of one? You know, we've talked about cyberpunk before. It's been the big topic of conversation, it seems like, in the games world for ages, and now it's finally here.
I've just... not been won over by anything. So I really wanted a player because I feel like I'm going in, you know, going, I'm ready to be persuaded. I'm ready to kind of go with it. And so that I am going in with a completely open mind, but I'm not going in with any expectations. So I don't know if that's good or bad, really.
Yeah. Now, Rage, we're going to get a bit of your reaction to, you know, the game as well, but also a big day for you today because you're going to get a chance to talk about what your big passion in life.
The listeners can't see it, but like Rage has got a massive grin on her face right now.
I do. Yes, I will get to speak about the one true game.
World of Warcraft Shadowlands has finally dropped. And that's Rage's existence recently. So we're going to find out what she thinks about that in a bit. And Ainel, of course, and we've talked about Cyberpunk before and talked last week about avoiding those spoilery trailers that are out. Have you managed to do that?
I have to a degree. I think what's happened is since Cyberpunk has been delayed a few times, in the interims, they've had to kind of keep giving out materials to people that are eagerly awaiting the game. And so there's more and more gameplay reveals, more and more walkthroughs of gameplay, more and more like behind the scenes of like people that worked on the game. And it's, I've been dodging it left and right. I've had my mute filters all set up on my socials. I don't want to see no Cyberpunk stuff. I don't want to see it.
It's time, you know, it is here.
They got our lock on us. Engine's been hit.
Get us out of here.
I'm losing control.
We are recording this, just so you know, on the day the game came out, so we haven't had loads of time with it, and we'll explain more about that later. We will be giving you a real, full, in-depth deep dive later on in the series, but we wanted to give you our first impressions of what we've seen so far today. But look, I don't really like mentioning it on the pod. I do find it a bit awkward, but I'm, you know, just super tight with Keanu Reeves now.
Nice.
And so, you know, he was badgering me, just calling me all the time, insisting that we caught up this week, you know, about Cyberpunk. And so, I, you know, it's a busy time, Christmas. I had to put my tree up, got Christmas shopping to do, all sorts. But I managed to find some time to fit in a chat with him.
Cyberpunk 2077 takes place in a dystopian future. It's an role-playing game, an open-world role-playing game that takes place in a mega city called Night City. And you play a character, V, who is a kind of, let's say, gun-for-hire mercenary in the game. You're a merc, and you get this job, and then things go wrong, and you end up putting in this chip, which is like, I guess they're calling it kind of like an immortality chip, in order to survive. And then once you plug it in, you're kind of alive, but lo and behold, you got a visitor stuck in your brain named Johnny Silverhand. And that's the character I play, who is an ex-soldier who then started a rock band, a protest rock band called Samurai. And he's trying to survive. You're trying to survive, and you go, you know, you can explore the world, but the core of the mission is that you're trying to survive in this fairly dangerous environment.
Now, gaming has helped a lot of people this year, hasn't it, Keanu, to escape to places like Night City, which might be dystopian and quite dark, but it's somewhere to escape to and get away from life, which has been difficult for many this year. How important do you think is it? For, you know, to have things like this for people to go and escape to and to go off and have adventures in.
Well, I know. I mean, for me personally and as a human species, entertainment can be escapist. It can also be a place where you work things out. Hopefully, you know, the stories we tell ourselves can add some kind of nourishment to our lives to larger and lesser degrees. And I think that that's relevant for Cyberpunk 2077, you know. You were just saying you're bosom buddies with Johnny Silverhand. And, you know, that relationship doesn't necessarily have to be bosom buddies, you know. But in terms of the themes that are working through the film, I think that there's some positive aspects to it. And, you know, about community, about needing help, about friendship. And personally, I hope that those kinds of elements can exist in the stories that I'm a part of telling.
Yeah, and of course, themes that are particularly important this year.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, without a kind of... I mean, some people say it's escapism. I mean, everything in moderation. You know, you don't want to go down 2077, you know. I wouldn't recommend playing 70 hours straight. Drink some water, get away from the game for a minute, look outside, you know.
That you describe Night City as a sort of, as a dystopian place, quite a dark vision of the future. Is there something about places like this or environments like this that draw you, projects like this that draw you in, Keanu? Because obviously, you know, Johnny Silverhand is part of the of this this Night City world that is quite dystopian and dark. But of course, you know, you're famous for The Matrix, of course, and Neo, and you could even say Bill and Ted looks at the future in a different way. Is there something about the future that draws you into these projects?
Yeah, I mean, I'm curious about the future, and I think, you know, a lot of the, you know, growing up on William Gibson and Neuromancer and reading Philip K. Dick and even A Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, you know, watching Road Warrior, Mad Max, Blade Runner, even Planet of the Apes, reading Lord of the Rings, you know, this exploration of fantasy, science fiction. I don't know, I just feel like the motifs that are that occur in these, this kind of storytelling is oftentimes examining the world that we live in and asking questions, and there's hero journeys and villain journeys, and I, for me, there was something aspirational or supportive in participating in these stories that gave me escapism, but also helped me define my worldview and interpret the world.
You know, are you actually quite optimistic about what that future might look like? Because some of these worlds are quite dark, aren't they, I suppose? You know, is there optimism to be found?
I'm trying. I'm working on my optimism.
2021 will surely be better than this one, though, right, Keanu?
We never know. Hopefully. I mean, it can only be better if we work together than apart, right?
Yeah, which is interesting. That comes up quite a lot in the game, in this experience, isn't it? About sort of what path you choose to take as a character.
Yeah, which path, you know, what's cool about the game, and it's not novel, but I think that the way that Cyberpunk has placed this mechanic of being able to choose, you know, in dialogue, different paths and which way you go on a journey and discover or figure out, but also your relationships to the people that you're, you know, it could be, as you know, kind of what we've spoken about, it could be adversarial, it could be supportive. You know, I think what they've done in a game like that is you know, not only immersive, but well, I guess that's what it is. It's immersive.
Obviously, this is your first sort of experience of being the main performer in a game like this, as opposed to the more traditional, you know, methods of movie acting and television and things you've done before. We talked about this last time we chatted in LA. But when you look back at the process now, the game is coming out, and you know, a lot of your work is done. What did you enjoy about the process most? What was different, and was that a challenge in a good way, or, you know, something that you've learned perhaps from this experience?
Yeah, I mean, I got to do a little bit of motion capture to kind of set up a gestural library for the character. And then we went to voiceover. The most enjoyable part was being able to play one character, but to play different emotional states for them, you know. So it was, I got to play Johnny Silverhand, you know, kind of like in three ways, four ways, and so that's something I don't get to do when I'm doing narrative fiction. So it was cool to have that opportunity.
Did you enjoy it so that you would enough to want to do it again?
Yeah. I mean, I would definitely have to be the right project. You know, I had a great experience, and so I wouldn't say no to doing it again, but it would have to be the right project.
Another dystopian future, probably.
Maybe, or maybe, I don't know.
Obviously, Johnny Silverhand has got metallic arms, the clue's in the title. And a lot of the game is predicated on you being able to customise yourself and your character and augment your body. In that process, do you ever think about what you would
have done if you could? If you could augment yourself, what would you tweak? For me, I wish I had better eyesight. I'm a glasses wearer and I can't see anything. So it would be helpful if I had 20/20 vision. And if it meant they were metallic eyes, I'd take it.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind a chip where I could speak more languages.
Oh, that's cool. That's a good idea.
I'll take that chip.
Well, I'm Welsh, so I can teach you one Welsh word. Which you could put on your chip if you ever get it one day, and it's diolch.
Diolch.
Which is the Welsh language word for thank you. Diolch.
Diolch.
Diolch. Brilliant.
Diolch.
Diolch yn fawr. Thank you very much, Keanu, for your time. It's been brilliant to chat. I hope you get your window over Christmas to get stuck into the game.
All right. Cheers, man. I appreciate it. Thank you.
So that was my mate Keanu from Hollywood. So interesting, he wanted to have a chip to learn languages, which is quite cool. What would you have, Gav, if you could augment yourself in cyberpunk style?
Good question. I think I've hit a point where I'm sick of wearing glasses now.
Oh, yeah.
So maybe something to do with my eyes. But I feel like augmenting myself just to have 20/20 vision is not great. So
it's a bit boring, isn't it?
That's what me and Einar, we all said the same thing.
I know, we said that last time.
Really, yeah. I feel like I've got to go one step further or something like that. And I you know, being able to... like look at if you're walking past a shop and you can see if it's cheaper somewhere else. That's ooh, something, isn't it?
So you're basically, you want an Amazon filter, yeah?
I'm fed up with my eyes and I love a bargain. So like those are my two things that I would love, please.
What are you saying, Rich?
Do you know what? Like, I haven't given this much thought, but I do like the aesthetics that cyberpunk has. So something to do with just being able to change like my hair or like my clothing like instantly. I don't know what that would come under, but the cyberpunk aesthetic, they've got similar haircuts to me.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I can get on board with that. I like that.
Can I change mine to Keanu's?
It's a good one, isn't it?
Because the way Gav put it, I mean, with like the bargain optics, I don't really like it. Doesn't sound as sexy anymore. I want to have the language one.
Bargain optics. I love the
name. Bargain optics.
That's what he said he wanted.
I love a bargain.
I want the languages. So like any country I go to, any person I can communicate with, I think that's amazing. There's so much power in that.
That is a good idea.
Well, let us know what you think. What would you do? What would you augment yourself? Hashtag press X to continue. Find us there and let us know. But right, let's get into it. So full disclosure, I've had about 7 hours with it at this point when we're recording. Gav, we're talking after you've had a few hours, and Rage and I have yet to get stuck in. So what did you make of your first few hours with it, Gav?
There's a lot going on. There's a lot going on. It kind of chucks you into it straight away, which I understand, and I think that is good. But also at the same time, is like, so I chose to be Corpo. You can choose one of three classes. I chose to be Corpo just because the man was sipping champagne in the preview video. So I was like, yeah, I'll have a bit of that. That feels like a bit of me. So I went for that. So it's weird because they chuck you into that world and then like you're thrust out of that. So you're trying to learn that world and then you're thrust out of that then. And then the whole thing actually kicks off. The thing that I didn't want straight away, which was I felt like all the trailers, everything that I've seen for it, has just been so loud and brash. But a few people who, you know, I really trust in games have said that actually when that sort of subsides, there are a lot of really nice quiet moments to the game and there's a lot of like stories going on that you can find. And that's the thing I'm looking forward to. But obviously, unfortunately, in the first like 2-3 hours, you're not getting that. It's really like sort of all guns blazing. But like I did kind of like how much control you've got over that as well. So I'm not one for playing stealth in games, but I played quite a lot of it quite stealthy because it actually murdering people on the sly feels pretty good.
Obviously, the comparison with the Grand Theft Auto games is there because you've got the big world and people knocking around and things going on and you're just part of a world that's sort of going past you. But it's like a weird blend, talking about stealth, it's like a weird blend between Metal Gear and GTA, isn't it, a lot of the time?
Yeah, and also, the thing that I was just thinking as well was, when I'm playing it, after something is finished, like, oh, I think to myself, well, obviously, that could have gone a few other ways, but there's no way I'm going back and playing this game more than once. So I guess it's kind of, it makes me feel a bit anxious, because I'm just like, God, there must be so much stuff I'm missing out on by playing things a certain way, which is pretty good, but I'm trying to pay attention to everything that's going on and getting involved in like every little storyline and stuff like that. But I feel like at some point it's just going to get a little bit too much.
I know we've talked before about how you love focused experiences in games.
Yeah.
So the fact that they say that the main storylines, you can do it in about 20 hours.
Right.
That should be up your street, right?
20 hours, that's me. That's me all over. Like that sort of time frame for a game, I'm good with that. Like that's like three or four evenings of some good sessions. Yeah, I'm happy with like the 20 hours. But I guess as you say, I'm a big fan of focused stories. I'm a fan of what Gavin's saying as well, with smaller stories that kind of enrich the entire world. Like the sort of stories that you hear that aren't necessarily to do with the main plot, but give you a bigger and greater understanding of the whole world around you. And I'm really intrigued about that, because Night City as a setting seems like fantastic. It reminds me of like Demolition Man mixed with like Blade Runner, mixed with like all sorts of like kind of cyberpunky-esque kind of settings. And I go back to, my original first RPG sci-fi game, which was Deus Ex.
Yeah.
And I think about all the different choices you could make in that. I guess my question that goes back to you and Gav is, does it feel like the decisions that you're making in this game affect the story in the way in which you feel it should be?
I think a little bit, but obviously it's really hard because of how early on that I am. But there's definitely like some of the decisions that I've made, I've definitely gone, oh, I think I did the right decision there, because you can kind of see how if it could have gone south a lot quicker had it not. But like the first little mission bit, I've seen that being done at E3 a few years ago. And the way that I saw that, it was like all guns blazing, a guy running in, sliding all over the floors and stuff like that. I didn't even use a gun for the first like mission bit.
How did you do that? So I tried to do that and I failed. Failed massively. I was like, I'm going to be all sneaky. Like, so, you know, I've got no bullets left. I'm running around punching people in the face, desperately trying to stay alive.
Well, I think that's the thing. I think it can go... That's why I think it is. Those systems are definitely working because, you know, the two of us have played that with the intention of being stealthy and sneaky, but it's gone very differently for the two of us, which I think is really, really good. It's just... I'm a bit cold to the actual world at the moment, and I just... Anyone who speaks... It just... I don't know. It feels quite budget. It feels like straight to DVD... style dialogue, do you know what I mean? Like
in terms of the writing,
some bits feel painfully like someone trying to really be cool. So they're like, they're swearing, they're like using like weird slang, using about 50 words when one word would be all right, I think. And it's I was like, if I've got to do 60 hours of this, I'm gonna get bored pretty sharpish, I think.
Rage, I'm interested to get your thought on this, because you've got it on the PC, so when you get around to playing, obviously you're gonna be playing it on the PC. From what you've seen so far and the chat around it, is this something that's gonna draw you away from your main love? Like you said yourself, your hair colour sits straight in with the characters of the game. This should be right up your street, right?
If this goes the way in which I think it's going to go, from the way you guys have described it, it's going to be the first game that I play that's not fantasy related. So it's, you know, futuristic, it's brightly coloured, there's no elves, there's no magic, there's no dragons. It's going to be completely different. But from what you guys have said, how there's a main story and then there's other side quests, per se, as long as I don't miss out on that, so if I progress in a certain like main campaign, and as long as I can go back and do it, then I'll be really happy. But my main worry, I have huge anxiety of missing out on things.
Yeah.
When it comes to games, you know, when there's so much going on and you're progressing in the main storyline, I just got to complete everything. I have a completionism kind of personality. I need it.
I do worry this is going to stress you out, because when you play a game like this and you look at the map and you see the icons everywhere.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There are icons.
I'm having an icon
freak out because there's more icons than I know what to. I don't even know what half of them mean. But what is that? I've got to go over here.
Give me an index. They don't give you an index to tell you which one, what the icons are.
Come on.
What is this?
Now, it would be remiss of us to be talking about the game, and granted this is very early on, without talking about the chat around it about the bugs, the issues, mm-hmm. things that have been raised by many of the reviewers who've had a lot longer with the game than we have. You know, as and that's actually part of the reason why you've not jumped in and had a few hours like Gav did this morning, you know, to talk to us.
I woke up ready. I had got the game in the cellophane, ready to get to put it into the Xbox Series X and give it a whirl. And the chatter that I've seen this morning and yesterday was for the console versions, the PS4 and the Xbox One, the I guess the last gen consoles, things aren't running too great in terms of the game seems that it has been rushed out for Christmas, and there's a lot of bugs and things that shouldn't be happening in the game that I guess with a massive game like this you guarantee to kind of see, but there's a lot of them that it's affecting a lot of people's kind of enjoyment of the console experience. Now, that's what I've heard, and so I'm not jumping in just yet until I'm waiting to hear about the patches coming in and making sure that things have been refined to a degree that I feel like, yeah, I can go in and enjoy myself.
Right, okay, this is strange, but me and Gav are technically now, as I'm speaking at the moment, coming to you from the future.
Yeah, I'm all, I've augmented my eyes. finally.
We're coming to you from the future because we recorded the podcast on the day that the game came out.
Yeah.
And now we're a few days later, and I am actually... When we usually record the pod, I'm in a nice, you know, I'm in my living room, I'm in my comfies, I've had a cup of tea, it's lovely.
Yeah.
But I'm actually in Newsbeat, in Radio 1 this morning, because I was in doing the news, having a lovely time. Next thing, see this tweet pop up from CD Projekt Red, like, oh, what's all this about? We've got a podcast coming out tomorrow all about this. And this tweet, Gab, basically meant that we had to try and scramble whoever was available. Eileen's too busy doing some cool voiceover work, so he can't do it. Rage is busy raiding somewhere on World of Warcraft. So me and you got together, because this is sort of has a big impact on what we're talking about in the pod.
Yeah, it really does, man. I mean, I can't remember the last time I saw anything like this. I was sort of looking at it this morning when I woke up, and it's this big wall of text and basically going, we shouldn't, essentially saying... We rushed it out. We shouldn't have put it out.
Yeah, so this tweet is from CD Projekt Red. So they're the people that obviously made Cyberpunk. And they I won't read you the whole thing because it's quite long. Mm. But it basically says, first of all, we'd like to start by apologising for not showing the game on base last generation consoles before it premiered. Because they say they should have paid more attention to making it play better on the PS4 and Xbox One, because... People playing it on base PlayStation 4s and Xbox Ones are basically, you know, for a lot of people, it's almost unplayable.
Yeah, that's what I mean. That's the thing. Like, we're very lucky. We've all been playing it on next gen. And I've had nothing. I've had some weird, tiny little glitches. Nothing game breaking at all. Nothing that, you know, it would even be a funny tweet. Like, nothing has happened. Nothing has happened to me.
You've got no content.
I got nothing.
Now, one of the guys I know has been looking at it, reviewing it for BBC Scotland, and they do good stuff on their YouTube, on the social. He said he had 10 crashes on his PS4 version in the first day of playing.
Like, it's 50 quid. 50 quid's a lot of money, man. Yeah. Like, you pay 50 quid, you expect to be able to play the thing that you paid for. Like, you don't go to the cinema, you don't pay 20 quid to go watch a film, and the film shuts down halfway through, and everyone's like, oh, well... Home time.
Yeah. Like, sorry, lads, come back tomorrow. You've run out of popcorn.
I just, obviously, and I can't speak as a business person. I can't speak as a developer because I'm not. All I am is a person who plays video games and gobs off into microphones. Like, I don't understand putting it out if you knew that this was going to happen. It's like that old Miyamoto quote, which gets retweeted and stuff all the time. A delayed game is eventually good, but a rushed game is forever bad.
Yeah, well, you wonder whether this is going to overshadow basically the whole release, isn't it?
It's going to be the story, man. And like that, another famous quote as well. That's the problem with first impressions. You only get to make one. And this will be the story of this game now, unfortunately.
Have you been reading a book of quotes or something this morning?
I've got toilet paper with quotes on it.
Have you actually?
No.
Yeah, I was going to say, write that down, mate. We're going to business doing that. I was talking about that later. So going back to the actual quote, they say that they're going to, they're working on updates, and the first set is going to be coming within the next 7 days.
Yeah.
And then there's going to be a big patch
patch in January and then another patch in February. And these will fix the most prominent problems that gamers are facing. They have apologised and are offering refunds for people.
Yeah.
But it's not a good look. Because this is a company that's got such a high reputation because of The Witcher. And the work that they've done before. And, you know, the game, I am actually having a really fun time with it.
Exactly, yeah.
I haven't had any issues, you know, when running it in the way we're playing it on the next gen consoles. And you just think, well, everybody could have been having this fun and experience.
Yeah.
If it comes out in April. But like you say, we're not necessarily business heads.
Absolutely, yeah.
And so maybe ultimately, you know, they needed to get it out before Christmas.
Yeah, I really feel for everybody involved in making it, because, oh, you know, they would have known exactly this, do you know what I mean? But there's obviously decisions that are above a lot of people's heads, and this, unfortunately, is just what's happened, isn't it? Like, I mean, the good thing is, obviously, they're aware of it all. They've not put their head in the sand. They've come out and said, actually, you know, we hear everything that you're saying, and we're going to try our best. And, you know, it's just whether or not people are going to trust them after... Yeah. What they've already experienced.
And look, making games in 2020, I've spoken to loads of developers throughout the year, has been particularly hard. Mm. But again, I guess it's the question, a lot of frustrated gamers out there will be like, well, look, I've given you my 50 quid expecting an experience. You haven't given it to me. Why not wait till April? Like Einel said it in one of our earlier podcasts. If they were like, if it's, you know, if it's been delayed a few times already and clearly there's a bit of a rush to get it finished, why not hold off until it's ready?
I don't get it. I really don't get it.
Yeah. Well, look, so that happened, and a lot of people are angry and frustrated by the experience that they're having, something that they've looked forward to for so long.
Absolutely, rightly so as well.
Yeah. Like, and also, it must be frustrating if you see people on PC or people like us on the next gen having a perfectly fine time with it, and you're like, well, why can't I be having that? That must be super frustrating.
Mm.
So are you thinking about getting a refund, like the owners have said that they're happy to try and sort out on Twitter, or are you going to just wait and let the game fix itself? Let us know what you think. The hashtag PressX to continue. Anyway, the magic of podcasting means that this is going to now stop and we're going to go back to what we were chatting about before.
You know what? I'm cool with bugs in games. I don't mind them. But my issue when it comes to bugs is, if there's a bug where I have to restart the game, or I have to like reload a checkpoint or something like that, then it takes me out of the experience and my enjoyment levels, and I have to kind of redo something. And it reminds me I'm just playing a game and I'm not like fully engrossed in this world. And that's what I think they want for Cyberpunk in terms of what Night City looks like. And I guess from hearing what you guys are talking about, how it kind of feels like, it feels like they want you to be fully immersed in that. So when they have these bugs there, it's like a no, you can't.
And at this point, Rage, is this where you say, this is why you should all have a PC and play on PC?
I'm trying not to put that comment in. I mean, I could, PC might be just as buggy. I don't know yet. Like, I've got the game installed. I gotta play it. And then I can maybe tell you whether or not it's just as buggy as Xbox or PlayStation.
Yeah.
Like, I could eat my words.
Yeah. Are you like, Einel, are you pretty cool with the odd bug here and there? And it's like, well, there's games in it.
Kind of. I think we're kind of a little bit spoiled with World of Warcraft because we get bugs, but because the game's so massive, you can kind of just avoid it. Whereas if you're playing a single-player game and it's part of the progression, and if there's a bug and it's literally stopping you from carrying on the game, you have to exit, that breaks the fourth wall, and then that's gonna ruin the experience for me. So I'm kind of spoiled in that regard, I think.
Steph, what's your character? What have you gone, the lady or the man?
I've gone the man, so we need to talk about this.
Yeah.
I've gone the man.
Okay. Have you gone the man? See, when I was looking at the man, every man that I could make, I was like, you look like someone I wouldn't get on with. So I was just like, I don't know if I can be asked for 40 hours controlling a guy that I couldn't go for a pint with, you know?
Yeah, I gotta say, not buying him a pint. Look.
Well, I made the mistake when I made my guy. I made him quite butch and masculine and, you know, strong. Because I was like, you know, creating a version of myself.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, obviously.
Of course.
You don't sound like you.
See, I went lady. I tried to make her like as badass because I was going corpo. So I was going like the corporation cool people. I went for the lady, but I made her like look like a badass, but I gave her the masculine voice. So when she she talks, she's got the dude's voice. An absolute badass. So that's, I'm kind of into that.
When she's in the business meetings, yeah?
Yeah, she looks like a laugh though. It looks like someone I could definitely go for some champagne in a sky bike with. Whereas the guy, I was looking at all the hairstyles and stuff and I was like, no.
Is it as customizable as like the character creation for like a game like Demon Souls or Mass Effect or any of those? Can you really go all out with
the
customization?
It is too in depth.
Oh, it can never be too in depth.
I realized I spent 4 minutes cycling through different jaws. And I was like, why do I care about this? It's a first person game. I'm never going to be looking at my own jaw.
There's jaws, there's hairstyles, there's eye colour. There's also, and I'm just aware this is a family show.
Careful.
I'm just treading very carefully my words here.
Yeah.
You can choose what genitalia you have and the size and shape of said genitalia, which is interesting.
You can choose if you've got a pee-pee or a mimi, I think Steph is trying to say.
Yes.
Right.
Also,
question.
You can choose how big it is. If you're going for... For both?
Yeah, you can choose how big your boobies are. You can choose how big your... Steph, how big did you give your pee-pee? Did you go accurate?
I went all out. He said he was doing it.
Oh, no!
I created myself.
Okay.
Say no
Rich,
more.
Is that... What do you think about that?
Say no more. Interesting. So can you make a character that looks female, sounds male, but then has male genitalia?
Yes.
That's so inclusive.
It is.
I feel like that's the first thing, like, ever to be implemented into a game like that.
Is it relevant to the game, though? Like, it's great having all this customization. Is it important to the story that, like, Your female character sounds like a guy?
No, I don't think it is, but I kind of feel like if you were a person who looked like that and you could make yourself in the video game for the first time ever, I feel like that you'd be pretty happy, I think.
Yeah, that's awesome.
But right now, I don't think it does have a bearing on character or on the actual storyline, which again is actually quite a good thing, really.
Yeah, it doesn't make a difference. Your appearance, who you choose to be, or gender or whatever, doesn't make a difference to your abilities or your power in the game. What does is those three categories that Gav spoke about earlier. So corpo, nomad, and street kid, I think, is the other one.
Yeah, so if it doesn't make a difference, Steph, why did you give your guy a big donkey dong?
Well, yeah, that's what I mean. Like, what do you do with it? Why did they give you a choice?
Yeah, Steph, we need to see an image of this.
Hey, look, this is PG, you know? We don't want to get X-rated here.
Oh, my bad.
I haven't
Apologies,
seen
listeners.
My John Thomas, as we say where I'm from, since the initial creation mode. Now, I don't know if it makes an appearance later on in the game, like I say.
I'm so confused.
You gotta get 15 hours deep first.
You've gotta earn the right to see that.
You're gonna commit, Stefan.
But you can also choose not to have genitals. You can, you know, the customizable options are big. But they do, I think, the more you play it, the more you get drawn into the world. Like, I was playing the other day and I was like, I think I got it on Tuesday or something, like a few days before it was coming out. And it was like 9 o'clock. I was like, I'll have a couple of hours before and I'll give it a good go tomorrow. Next thing you know, it's 1:30 in the morning.
Absolutely, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
and it just, it's gone like that, which is, I think...
Still on the customer characterization.
Just sliding the penis up and down, up and down. His wife comes in, Stefan, get off the computer.
Actually, I was living out the adventures of a gangland member in Night City. Yeah. Thank you very much, Gav. It's going to be when we get a chance to come back.
Yeah.
And we've done, you know, 20, 30, 40 hours in it or whatever each. We can really get into it.
I think that's a really good idea. I think, like, if we can, you know, we can look back on everything that we've talked about. We can kind of look back on everything that we were thinking right now and then go, how wrong were we? Because, like, it happened to me with Assassin's Creed. Like, Valhalla, I was like, I was only played it because I wanted something to play on my Series X. And I was like, oh, here we go. Another Assassin's Creed. Cut to me 40 hours later, like, absolutely running around pretending to be a Viking. I'm absolutely loving it. Yeah. So I think, like, maybe, you know, I'm there to be grabbed.
It's like you play a Call of Duty campaign. It's like going out for fast food hamburgers. You know, it's good, but it's... But as this feels like, this is like a steak dinner. Do you know what I mean? You've got to take your time on it. You've got to get settled into it. And I haven't really had a chance to really get settled in. And I've got a feeling that our viewers in 10, 20, 30 hours in will be different to now. You know, I think the thing we can say at this point is, yes, there are some issues with it, and that's well documented. For me, and it sounds like for you as well, Gav, those issues haven't stopped me enjoying my experience with it so far.
Oh, 100% not. No, yeah.
Look, let us know what you think. Have you had your hands on Cyberpunk? You've maybe had the weekend to get stuck into it. Let us know. Hashtag press X to continue and get involved in the conversation, because I've got a feeling we're going to be coming back to this a few more times in the next few weeks. Now, we've also been chatting with Mr. Cyberpunk himself. There's a guy called Mike Pondsmith who came up with a concept, originally a role-playing game like Dungeons & Dragons. Did you know this? The first Cyberpunk game, when he wrote it in the 80s, was set in 2020.
Wow.
2020, yeah.
I don't think you could have guessed as mad a year as it's been.
Everyone stays inside. The future game of the year.
Yeah. That'd be quite a boring game, actually, wouldn't it? Lockdown, the game. Anyway, this is what Mike Pondsmith had to say about the world he's created and his hopes for people playing the game.
Cyberpunk is a dystopian future that's about 5 minutes from our own current existence. The big difference between what you'll see and my interpretation is that people are able to be more heroes than victims in this incarnation of cyberpunk. Usually in classic cyberpunk, you're such a little person against such huge corporate influences that you really can't do much. But here, although you may not change the world, you can keep the corporations out of your part of it. And that's very important here.
Of course, initially, one of your original Cyberpunks was set in 2020, right? So here we are. I mean, I guess you wouldn't have guessed this year would have happened, I suppose, all those years ago.
Funny part is I think it would have happened sooner. But if you read the timeline, we had world-spanning plagues and all kinds of other god-awful stuff being written for the year 2020 in a year, which I think was 1986 when we were writing Cyberpunk 2020. It is more so. We have a lot of the technologies that we talked about, including the cyberware at certain levels. The only thing we don't have is flying cars, which is what I was hoping for. But we've got an awful lot of cyberpunk stuff going on in real world. And I think that's one reason why the genre is popular again today, because it was fantasy when you looked at it in the 80s. But there's a lot of reality going on right now. The majority of us don't want to live in a dystopian future.
Yeah.
Personally, you know, I want to live in a future where I can go to a Starbucks occasionally and not be shot at.
So that experience that people get when they've played Cyberpunk, the paper version in the past, how is that going to translate to a video game version of it then, Mike? And how involved have you been in that process?
I've been pretty involved in it, actually. I started with the story team and the original group. And I spent a lot of the time over in Warsaw, which I actually like. Missing going to Warsaw, as a matter of fact.
Yeah.
Basically, what I've discovered is my job is kind of keep things on track. It's very easy for a world like this, because it has a science fiction baseline, to drift into pure sci-fi. And you don't want that to happen. There's this tendency to think, yeah, I could make this a little lighter, or, you know, I could make this a little less realistic. One of the things I really have enjoyed watching the development of 2077 is that it is realistic on other areas. Like, for example, people scream bloody murder when they saw daylight in Night City. And I said, you think the sun doesn't come out in the real world? But just because the sun's out doesn't mean it can't be a really horrible situation here. You know, obviously you haven't been to Los Angeles recently and looked at the smog. My son always tells me, think happy thoughts, Dad, because too many things you come up with are really grim. So that's my job, is to keep things kind of in the properly, I don't know, crazy, dark, anarchistic, and sometimes very humorous aspect of this dystopian world. So you keep checking, like a chef coming into the kitchen in a major restaurant, and you taste the soup and go, more salt or whatever. And so far, I don't have to add much salt.
So you're obviously super confident that it's in a great place. But people who are coming to this new, this world new, who might be a bit overwhelmed by how much is going on, what would your advice be to them to try to start soaking it in or to start navigating the story you're hoping to tell them?
Just walk out of his apartment and wander around Watson for a little bit and then go back to get involved with missions. You know, see the depth of the world first. It's the best way for you to get a sense of it. Just like if you go to a new city, you don't immediately go rush to your job. You walk around first. You go figure out where you're going to get a, you know, carton of milk. You're going to figure out what parts of the neighborhood you probably don't want to go into. Do the same thing here. Let yourself experience it instead of just going, I'm going to speed run through this thing. You'll miss all the fun.
Yeah, that's what I always thought. It's always his vision of the future was always seemed like the dark path, like where we don't want to go in the future.
Absolutely not. Mostly because of how noisy it is. and I'm a fan of quiet, but it is a loud game. Everybody is loud. Everybody needs to be turned down a little bit, I think. Like everyone's agendas are loud.
Mm-hmm. From what we've played so far and what we've talked about and what you've seen, let's try and guess the Metacritic score of this one. And just to give you a heads up, this is the Metacritic score of the PC version that people got. So the reviewers who gave it a score early on had a PC version of it. And that's what the Metacritic is based on. So, Rage, what do you think? Where are we at?
I haven't heard it being not as good as everyone expected it to be, so I'm going to guess 88%.
Most of these reviewers have got the decent PC with the massive graphics card, right? So it's probably looking shiny, especially with the ray tracing and all of that. I think that's going to win a lot of people over. I'm going to say 90
on the nose from Einel. Gav, what do you think?
Yeah, I was going to go 90, but... So we've had 90 and 88.
Yeah.
Now I'm just working out. That's the thing. Now I'm working out how I could win. So I need to get that out of my head.
You can win by Googling,
guys. I'm playing the odds. I don't know. I think because I've seen some reviews that are really, really high. Then I've seen other places that maybe a little bit more lukewarm on it. I think we're probably going to be looking at 85.
85 from Gav. Okay. Well, no party poppers this week.
Oh.
Sad. But you came very close. It's actually 91 on the Metacritics.
Wow. That's really encouraging.
Yeah, so despite... That's based off 50 critic reviews. So despite the bugs and the issues, people are still giving it a 91. And Gav, even though you didn't get it right, you're not majorly surprised by that?
No, I can see that. I think a lot of people love this game, and I can absolutely see why.
I'm looking forward now for us to get pictures on our Press X to Continue WhatsApp group of Einel and Rage's characters when you get around to making them.
Yeah. I can't wait.
Yeah, it might take a few megabytes. You may have to free up some space in your phone.
Oh, gosh.
I'm not looking forward to that now. Okay, right, let us know what you think about Cyberpunk. You've been playing it. Does it live up to the hype? Was it rushed out? What do you think of Keanu Reeves' his performance in the game? Let us know. Hashtag PressX to continue across all the socials. Get in touch with us. And we've had loads of you been messaging in, which is brilliant to hear from you. We had this message from Alan, who was encouraged to play Call of Duty after listening to H talk about it in our Call of Duty episode a few weeks ago. And he's given Warzone a game. And even though he's rubbish at it, he's enjoying it. Well, Alan, look, loads of us are rubbish at Warzone, but we still play it. So that's cool. And also, we've had this from Craig Dudgeon, who's got in touch with us. He's suggesting, what do you think about this, Einel, for our Hall of Game?
Yeah.
Is Star Wars Knights of the Old Republic.
Oh, yeah. BioWare, the classic one. The original.
Talking about RPGs, Cyberpunk and RPG, yeah. Of course. This is one of the original sort of big RPGs, isn't it?
Yeah, that was my original Xbox game. I destroyed this game.
So, great shout, Craig, to be fair. That's a really strong shout.
Pick up Craig.
From you. Yeah. So we'll have a look at that. Did you ever play Knights of the Old Republic, Ridge?
Nope. I don't think I've played any of the games in this Hall of Games.
Can we do it at the end of the year? We get all those Game of the Year games and we give them to Rage.
So yeah! Knights of the Old Republic would be up your street, though, I think.
Yeah, I saw the... what was it, the Golden Ball Eye game?
The sacrilege that's been that's happening on the podcast right
I'm
now.
I'm so sorry.
Was
I
it Golden
it,
Bowl, is it?
Golden Bowl, mate. Found it on the old gizmo. Gonna give it a bash later on. Yeah. I found it, so I'll have a play at that.
I need Rage to stream this. I'm coming over to the stream. I need to see this.
You're gonna see my reaction. I'm just gonna be like flat faced, like, what is this?
To be fair, you probably would be, actually.
we've had loads of people been getting in touch with us. It's brilliant to hear from you. I had this really thoughtful message from Deacon the Frost. It was DM'd to me, and it's almost an essay. He's really taken his time to think about this and talking about games that create or evoke a sense of place and emotion that sort of Cyberpunk does a little bit. He's talking about the impact that Alien Isolation had on him. Saying that he was a huge fan of the Alien games, but he became hooked on Isolation. He thinks it's one of the best games of the past few years and was massively invested. And he says, because of the use of display straight out of the 1979 movie, it reeked of original terror. And he was playing it behind his sofa and absolutely loved it. I mean, it's a really long message. I'm paraphrasing a little bit. But being stalked by one of the terrifying creatures, and one of the most terrifying creatures he reckons ever to be conceived. The only thing that, you know, he thought that playing the game was almost as good, if not better, than the movie itself, which is saying something for the Alien franchise, isn't it? Mm. And he says, he describes it as absolute magic. And I've always been too scared to get too into Alien Isolation. I've played a few hours and was terrified.
It's incredible.
Yeah. Steph, I'm with you. I've played a couple of hours, like, no spoilers, but the beginning of the game, you don't see the alien. And for that, I was like, okay, I could deal with this. As soon as the alien came in, I was like, nah, I'm locking it off. And I never went back.
It's incredible. It's up here. I reckon it'd be in my top 10. I only found out the other day, you know, like the weird little robot men that are all throughout the game, these little, they're called Average Joes, I think they are, something like that. Originally, when that was recorded, they all had Welsh accents. But for whatever reason, I don't know if they tested bad or whatever. They replaced it all with boring, nondescript accents instead. But originally, they were all going to have Welsh accents. And it would have been my favourite game ever. But unfortunately, it was just a
That is a scandal that they took that
it
out.
It is, yeah.
That's an absolute scandal. And I'm not going to go back and play it now after that. But anyway,
I'll learn them.
None of us are going back and Rage has never played it.
I've played it.
Okay, so Rage, it is that time. Hold on to your hats. Strap in. World of Warcraft, Shadowlands. Off you go.
It just got released, like, 2 weeks ago. Totally addictive. Haven't left the house. I'm stuck. It's amazing. So it's the newest expansion for the World of Warcraft. But we've been introduced to this brand new world, which is called the Shadowlands. And it's actually the Vale of Death, per se. Souls, when they die, will usually be sucked into the Shadowlands and divided equally amongst the four covenants, depending on what their activities were and what they did and what their morals were and values, so on and so forth. But something has happened so that all of the souls get sucked into the Maw, which is torture. It's horrible. And we have to kind of figure out why. And we're going to try and rescue these souls. And a lot of these major characters have been sucked into the Maw, and we have to rescue them. There's a lot going on. There's a lot to do. But I am fully, fully roped into it.
Yeah. Is this expansion an expansion for people like you who've already invested hours and hours and hours? I mean, we don't even know. How many hours have you done? Nope. Do you know?
I don't know. On my one character, 36 days.
Woo!
One character.
Wow.
Yeah, a lot of time.
Because as well as keeping your base, like people like Rage, happy, games like World of Warcraft, the tricky thing is, how do you appeal to new players, to get new players in, to keep, you know, to keep the bloodline going, as it were?
Yeah, I think that's almost as important as keeping the previous people happy. If anything, like, welcoming in new people, because eventually the old guard will
die,
disappear, or die. I wasn't gonna say that, innit? Reggie's still young. I'll probably go before she does. But at the same time, like, in terms of like new welcoming in new players, I always think, onboarding is probably one of the hardest things to do in like game development, but at the same time, I think it's like probably one of the most important things ever in terms of like a new person introducing them to like a franchise that has years and years, decades in this case, of like games and lore around it, and then having a way of kind of welcoming them in like a in a nice way that lets them kind of play along with like the old guard in some sort of form. So I like the sound of it. I do like the setting of things and rescuing souls and that sounds cool. So it seems like you need, like taking them out of the moor sounds mad. You might need like some interim thing once you rescue them souls, man. You can't take them straight out.
If you're a fan of dungeon crawlers, they've recently introduced a dungeon crawler where there's different layers.
Yeah.
It's like a good old fashioned, you go in, you clear a room, you go to the next layer, go and clear the room. And at the very top, there's a boss. And that's a mini game that's important inside Shadowlands. Mm. And that's something that we really like because, you know, whether you're a new player or an old player, you know what a dungeon crawler is.
Yeah.
So it caters to everyone. And that's just one little aspect of the new expansion.
Do you get like people like yourself have been playing for a while helping newer people play? Or is it a thing where you got to fend for yourself and it's like, oh,
no. Okay. There's this new thing that they've introduced where you can, if you hit certain criteria, you can be known as like a new player guide. You get access to a brand new channel. You can help people.
Oh, you get perks?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Like a little tour guide thing. Okay.
Yeah, basically like, hello, this is the Shadowlands. You're doomed here forever.
And I'm assuming you haven't gone down that route, Rage, because you're too busy, you know, doing your own thing.
Well, because I'm streaming it, loads of new people are coming in anyway, and they're like, oh, I like this World of Warcraft thing. Like, I want to delve into it, but I'm not sure there's too much going on. And I'm like, well, you know, there's 14 years of story and 16
You need to catch
years.
Up on, so get reading. Yeah.
But you know what? You can do that in level 10 to 50. You can pick an expansion, just learn all about that previous expansion. What's taken us 2 years to absorb that information? It'll only take you a couple of hours or 10 hours if you're not rushing it.
So how long, how long is you know, going from level 10 to 50, how long would that take you?
About 10 to 12 hours for a new person. So that's 10 to 12 hours for one expansion, and then you've got seven other expansions to choose from.
All right.
You choose what you want to play.
Yeah.
So if you want to do one character just in one expansion, and you're like, oh, I like that, I enjoyed that, let's go on to the next one. And you can do it in chronological order. And you learn the characters through that way. Of course, you don't need to do that at all. And you just go straight to the newest expansion. And even that's really inclusive because you get introduced and you're like, hello, you are the hero of this world. Make sure defending it and things. And you do it that way.
They should be giving you some voice acting work on the...
They're missing a trick.
Oh, there's like British people, like Einel's accent in there. And like my covenant I picked, which is vampires, because it's all gothic and vampires, and they're like, well, we should go. I can't do it, I know, but you know.
any Welsh in here at
there
all?
Is Welsh.
Good.
Yeah, there's Welsh.
Start with that.
Good.
Start with that.
All over it.
Ridge, so Shadowlands then, obviously we know you're sold on it, and you've done a pretty good sell for us this morning. Fair play.
Love it.
What do you think the Metacritic score is? What are the critics saying?
Ooh, it was massively underhyped because we have a tradition that Blizzard really disappoints us. But it's turned out really, really well. I think it's really underhyped. So I'm gonna say about 85%.
85, Einel?
Oh, I'm going off the back of Rage and what she's been saying, because I'll be honest with you, I'm not too au fait with World of Warcraft. I know Blizzard have had some like backlash with their expansions in the past with the game. So off the back of that, I'd say 80.
80, and then you, Gav, what do you think?
I have no idea what's going on. I'm saying 90.
He's gone big, he's gone 90.
Yeah.
No party poppers this week, team, come on. 82, so pretty decent score for 82.
I was close.
Now, Gav, I've sprung this on you last minute.
A little bit.
A lot of pressures in your hands here. So far we have had Ian Sterling putting FIFA 98 into the Hall of Game.
World Cup 98, yes.
It had the five-a-side in it.
It did. He had the indoor five-a-side.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's fine.
Shay's put Street Fighter 2 Good job. Into the Hall of Game. Dele Alli put Fortnite in. H put Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2.
Yeah.
GoldenEye is in there, despite the fact that Rage has yet to play it.
Golden Boy. Fine.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of big games in the Hall of Game.
Yeah.
Gav, the power in your hands now is quite substantial.
I love it. I love it.
So mould that power. Use it to the best of your ability. Don't squander this opportunity, okay? This once-in-a-lifetime moment that you will be reliving for years to come.
I love how, Steph, you're giving him so much time to think.
Absolutely fine. I've got it. It's absolutely fine. Didn't even have to think about it.
I know what he's going to say anyway. Okay. What are you putting in the Hall of Game?
Now, I don't think you do know what I'm putting in here, because I am putting in a game that means a lot to me for a million different reasons, but I am putting in Devolver Digital's Hotline Miami,
which
I think is a perfect game.
Yeah.
God of War is probably my favorite game, but I think Hotline Miami is a perfect video game.
Sell it, because for lots of people, this will be the first time they've ever heard of Hotline Miami. It's not maybe as well known as some of the other ones we've got in there.
Yeah.
So it's sitting in the corner being all cool and indie in the Hall of Game bar, whereas you've got, you know, Call of Duty Modern Warfare and Street Fighter getting drunk up with the barman, whereas, you know, Hotline Miami's keeping its own company in the corner. Tell us more about it.
It's the bloodiest game you'll ever play. Top-down action game where you go around just mashing up bad guys. I think it's like a pure game where basically they give you this little level. You can make your way through as quickly or as difficult as you want. And you're literally, it is get from one end to the other. And that's all you've got to do. And there's a story laid over the top, which, you know, even though there's no voice acting or anything like that, there's a story laid over the top that is better than most AAA games. And I feel like what it does perfectly with a mixture of its art style and music and sound effects is it creates an atmosphere and a world. Considering everything is little pixels, it creates this world that you just think, I know exactly everything about that world just from being in it. And it becomes this almost like odd experience that just takes over you a little bit. But I'm absolutely obsessed with it, because you've got this weird storyline going on where you're not quite sure what's going on. But also, on top of that, you've got an actual video game in the purest sense, which is, you know, you're getting points every single level and you're trying to beat your score and you're trying to beat everybody in the world's score as well. Like, at one point, I was like, on a couple of the levels, I was like number 8 in the world. Because I love this game so much, man. And it's strange as well, because like the way that I heard about it was like, you know, like how people say they heard like the Sex Pistols like on a little demo tape or something like that. I was in a pub. It was when EGX was still in London, and I was in a pub that everybody used to sort of decamp to after EGX in the night. And people were like, and I didn't bother going to the show or anything. I just liked hanging out and going to the pub. But and people were like, there was like a bunch of mates like, did you play Hotline Miami today? And I was like, I have no idea what you're talking about. And they were like, you got to go EGX now and play Hotline Miami. And I was like, nah, I'd rather be in the pub. They were like, just go to EGX and play Hotline Miami right now. I was like, all right, yeah. So I went down, played, like, no queue, just rocked up to the little indie booth, like played it. It became one of the best games I ever played. But then, I went back to the pub and was like, the people who'd played it, you could kind of tell. You could kind of like tell because they'd experienced something, you know? And you walked up and it was like, people like looking you in the eyes being like, oh my God, you've played it, haven't you? I was like, yeah, just played it. And then like, you know, it just like mad talking about it. It was, honestly, I've never had that with a video game before. It was exceptional.
Well, thank you very much for sticking with us, you XC beasts. If that's the first time you've heard this and you don't know what that means, go back and listen to some of our other episodes and it'll all make sense. I will see you this Tuesday coming for the next episode of Press X. Bye-bye.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com.
Test your luck in the shadowy world of the Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play the Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.